Hi guys, welcome back to We Should Talk, a pop culture interview series from In the Know. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the podcast we have Michael Judson Berry and Paris Nicholson, who are the two co-hosts of The Social Dose. It is a twice-weekly podcast where they break down the biggest trends in social media, and they are just, they're a hilarious duo, and they have me cracking up this entire interview, and their podcast is a really fun listen. It's like 30 minutes, they just talk about, you know, the latest things happening on TikTok, Instagram, whatever. It's just, it's funny, and it's sometimes you just need to laugh about what we're doing on our phones all day. I love having them on. We talked about how they got connected, how they met. You know, they both have had like really distinct viral moments that they've capitalized on and turned into full-fledged careers. And it was fun hearing about those things and what it's like kind of on the other side of that and turning that again, like into a thriving career. Yeah, I just loved hearing about their time together, working together, how they approach TikTok and different trends. And again, they were just making me laugh the whole time. And I think you'll really enjoy listening to this one. So keep listening for my interview with Paris Nicholson and Michael Judson Berry. Check out their podcast, The Social Dose, wherever you get your podcasts, and please rate, review, and subscribe to We Should Talk on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so we are here with Paris Nicholson and Michael Judson Berry, co-hosts of The Social Dose, which is a 3 times weekly podcast where they break down the latest trends on social media. How are you guys? Thanks for being here.
Great. How are you?
I am good.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Okay, wait. So how did you two first meet, first get connected? How did this love story start?
Well, we met on Grindr. No, could you imagine?
That's what I was expecting.
Actually, I could imagine. That sounds like a very possible.
It's not dream an uncommon on, story. Michael.
Dream on. You would never have gone for mine. My first Grindr question was always just like, what book are you reading?
And
Anyway, sorry, Paris, how did we actually meet?
So Michael and I were actually featured on a reality television competition program known as The Worst Cooks in America on the Food Network, now
Heard
streaming on Max. And that is how we met. We did not know each other until then. And immediately we became best frenemies. And I said, Michael, you're so stupid. I love you.
That's actually pretty much exactly how it went. We had to do our first cook together. Like, we were set next to each other. And had the best time. We were coming up with characters. We barely got our food made because we just kept cracking jokes with each other.
Yeah.
I love that.
It was a very hard experience.
Okay, but how does one find themselves on Worst Cooks in America? Like, how did that happen?
I don't know about you, Michael, but for me, I literally got a call, or I got like an email that was like, hey, we love your TikTok. We think you'd be great for this opportunity. Can you hop on a call? And I was like, sure, what is it? And then they call me and they're like, we think you'd be great for Worst Cooks in America. And I was like, first of all, that's so mean. I don't know why you would say that. I don't do any cooking content. What makes you think I'm bad at cooking? Second, you're not wrong. I'll do it.
So mean, but also so me. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of same for me, because the whole season was viral sensations.
Got it.
So I think we both made it on the short list of like producers' favorite content creators who they thought would be funny. And same, they called me up and they were like, what are the chances you're a terrible cook? And literally that day I had Googled cooking classes, because my boyfriend was like, I would love to be with somebody who could like have like food ready when I come home from work. And I was like, that's not me. I can barely crack an egg. So I was like, well, this is fortuitous. Yes, I'll for sure go on your show.
And who did better? Who did better on the show?
Michael did better.
I did. Okay. But Paris is definitely the better cook. So the way the show is structured, it's like two teams with two celebrity chefs competing as to who's the better mentor, basically.
Got it.
And they each like get down to their top two players and then they go head to head. So we were luckily on opposite teams. But yeah, I was the winner for my team. Paris was the runner up. So
I was like the fan favorite.
You were. But oh, if okay. We had been on the same team,
you would have beaten me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be the one they call back for All Stars.
Exactly. Yes. With your little shorty shorts. He would wear the shortest shorts and the apron covering them. So it looked like you just wore nothing but legs.
It's a look.
Yeah. Like a little skirt, a little mini. Ooh.
I mean, we're starting trends. We're talking about trends. Come on. It's like everyone's been wearing that. So then from there, you just stay connected and stay friends. And then the opportunity for this podcast came about, or was this the idea that you two had specifically? How did that happen?
Tell it, Michael. You tell it.
Oh,
best.
Well, they reached out to you. No, the whole time we were recording the show, we were talking about doing a podcast together, because I've always wanted to do one. We're trying to figure out what it would be, because like I wear a lot of cardigans and love TCM and old movies, and Paris is actually current. So we thought there'd be something fun there. But then this opportunity was presented to Paris actually initially. And then he was very kind to bring me in as his co-host.
They were like, hey, we have this idea. There would be a co-host. I'm like, have you decided on a co-host? Because I have one in mind. And they said, oh, we love him. And I said, perfect.
So here we are.
And now we're here in your little earbuds. It's actually twice a week, every Tuesday and Thursday.
Got it.
And you can listen to us wherever podcasts are found, besties. We just talk about like the fun things that are happening online, the discourse, the memes, the gags.
And, yeah. And I like that you lean into the dose part of the title. It's because every episode's around 30 minutes. And like, I feel like too many of my podcasts go for an hour and a half, 2 hours. I'm like, I love them, but I sort of like begrudgingly press play because I'm like, okay, I'm going to be popping back into this all day. You know what I mean?
So it sometimes feels like a chore.
Yeah, literally. So is that something that you just found like, okay, this is the appetite for something like this? You know,
we have short TikTok attention spans. Yeah 30 minutes for a podcast, plenty.
Yeah. And we cover on average like 4 stories per episode. There'll be like something we discuss at the top that we think is fun, and then 3 main social media things that happened since the last episode. So whatever happens to come across our For You pages.
Yeah.
So it is. It's quick, it's tight, it's fun. It's like, I mean, NPR, but about social media and goofy.
Yes. Totally. Yeah.
You know,
do you ever feel like it's like, is it ever hard to describe like a trend that's happening on TikTok for like an audio medium? You know what I mean? Like
Gibson. Literally today that happened. I'm trying to explain this new, have you heard the TikTok song that's like, give me one margarita, I'm a showman.
Yes.
So I'm trying to explain this new margarita song on TikTok that came from like a evangelical Christian woman at a college campus video that went viral. Then somebody referred to it on a podcast, turned it into a rap. Then somebody else remixed it. And now it's a trending audio. So like when you're 3 levels deep in internet, it gets difficult to explain.
It does.
Yeah. Or like we also talked about the Barbie filter, the AI Barbie filter, and people are putting it on their pets.
On their dogs. Yeah.
Which is hysterical, on their dogs. Yeah. So trying to describe these videos, you know, that's sometimes a really fun challenge to be like, let me just, friends, before you look at it, this is what a pit bull would look like if it was a Barbie, and it was tragic.
But sometimes it's like you wish you could show what it looked like, right? I mean, you do have it is clipped out. The show is clipped out, and like you have things that you share. But yeah, that can get, I'm sure it can get a little tedious sometimes with describing that stuff.
Next season, we're gonna have a full visual component. I bet.
I love that. We need that. All right, and you guys have good guests. I listened to your Hannah Burner episode, and they just kind of pop in. You had Candace from Real Housewives of Potomac on. Is it just like whoever you guys are loving? It's whoever you have the opportunity to bring on. Like, how do you think about who you want to come on and kind of hash these things out with?
Well, I love our social scientists, also known as our producers. We have a group chat that we're just constantly just like throwing things that come across our page. We're like, hey, look at this insane video, or like, look at this wild trend. But also like, hey, look at this creator who we think is awesome. It's been super fun to kind of like find people that we love and want to give a chance to like have a platform to like smaller creators, and then also meet like with bigger creators like Hannah. So it's been a really delightful treat because we just kind of be like, hey, this person's cool. And we're like, hey, we all think they're cool. Let's do it.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. And we've had some recurring guests, which is great because we get to know them, like Georgia Bridgers and Christian Banda, that sort of like we have so much fun with. And we're like, do you want to come back? And they'll like pop in another day. And it's great to see like sort of recurring voices come in and out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just have fun.
Yeah, it really is fun. Like it's just fun to listen to. And I think that it's sort of, there's something like almost, I mean, we're all like alone on our phones and we're just scrolling all day. And there's something like comforting about being like, oh, like, no, like everybody else is also seeing this stuff. And like, we're all kind of experiencing it like alone, but also together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I love that.
And I know a lot of people who listen to it, and then they'll do like, as we go story by story, like they'll listen and be like, oh, that video sounds fun. They'll pause us, go find the video, watch it, and then come back and listen to the commentary, which I think is a good way to do it as well.
Totally. Yeah. So through this experience of just like really diving deep on what's happening on social media, have you found that there are certain corners of the internet that are like your least favorite or most favorite? Because there have to be some dark things you come across or some things that like, I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Ooh. Yeah, it's sometimes like, because we are, as we say on the show, chronically online. Like, it's just wonderful that our job is to do what everybody else's procrastination is, which is to just scroll through social media. But I recently, I fell on one where this one creator who I love, who's a comedian, stitched this guy who's like this alt-right Christian nutbag who was like, the Bible says women should be silenced and stuff. And I fell on his page and I was like, oh no, this is a corner of TikTok I didn't need to be on.
No.
Wait, Michael, the one that everybody's dragging right now?
Yes.
And they're like, hey, thanks for donating to my OnlyFans.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't think I've seen this.
He's the worst.
Find him.
And everyone's
Ricky
him.
Jose?
So I don't know. No. But I ended up on a rabbit hole. And unfortunately, because of that, it took me to a lot of like alt-right Christian stuff.
Totally.
I was like,
once
I didn't need to be here.
Yeah, exactly.
This isn't where I wanted to be.
What about you, Paris?
What dark corners have you ended up in?
I grew up on the dark web. Like before the internet was publicly traded or infested, it was me at 10 years old in the year 2000. Oh my God. In the year 2000, actually, just like in shady chat rooms and like watching creepy videos of like people dying and like something getting stuck in a butt and like the craziest thing. So I am pretty immune to the darkest things in this world because of the internet. But I have found a really dirty, guilty pleasure recently, which is the Twilight subreddit. I don't know if you've ever been there, but to visit the Twilight Reddit in the year 2023
paint
and
the
have
picture for
such.
Us.
So there, it's earnest. It's candid. It's things that shouldn't ever really be said out loud, but are being shared on a public platform. For example, this girl recently felt the need to make an entire post about Anna Kendrick's necklace in the prom scene. And it's a full rant about how ugly the necklace was in that one scene. Gosh. And as if it just happened to her today and it actually killed her parents. That's how incensed she was about it. And it's that kind of like human nature and like a peek into people's psyche that just really gets me going. So I've fully subscribed to this Reddit and it's become one of my favorites.
I love that. She 10 years later, she's still hung up on the necklace. I need to see this necklace now. It's giving like,
oh, it's hideous.
Like
I looked
statement,
it up.
Is it like a statement necklace? Is it like a...
Well, the whole thing is it's a statement necklace, chunky piece, but with a halter top dress. And that was the Redditor's
big gripe. Sounds
gorgeous.
Okay. Okay. Love.
It was a choice.
So, I mean, you kind of alluded to this, I think, at the beginning. We were talking about how you guys first got connected, but you both sort of had early distinct moments of like going viral and things that really kind of grew your following, got a lot of eyeballs on you. Can you explain what some of those earliest moments were for both of you and kind of what the kind of windfall was from that?
Oh, I love that question. Yeah. Michael, do you want to go first or do you want me?
Oh no, you look so excited, Paris. I say you take this. You're like,
because
blushing.
I love my origin story. And I love to tell it. Thank you for asking.
Please share, Paris. From when you were a twinkle in someone's eye.
I was just a glimmer on the internet. Do you remember during the pandemic when all the Disney gays and Disney adults were like, we need to be allowed back into Disney parks? And it was like, get a grip, divas. There's a lot of better things going on, right? More important things going on, rather. Some girl on Twitter made some parody video pretending she was one of them. And she was like, these are the reasons I need to be let back into the Disney parks. And the last reason that she gave was so that she could see the hot bug from A Bug's Life. And then the camera pans to the main ant from A Bug's Life. And I said, that's not the hot bug from A Bug's Life. Why would she say that one? And I just kind of moved on. And then days later, I was still thinking about it. Like, are there people that really believe that that's the hottest bug from A Bug's Life? No, right? So I made a video ranking the top 5 hottest bugs in A Bug's Life. And I put it out for the world just to kind of set the record straight, to kind of clear the air, as it were. And then it got 1 million views in a day. And my friends were like, oh, Paris, this is going off. You have to do more. And I was like, what? Do I? People saw me do that? Oops. And now here we are.
So did you rank more?
I've literally ranked everything by hotness, babes.
Okay. Yeah.
Check the archives. Anything you want, it's been ranked by how hot it is. And the answers are never wrong. And that's what's fun about the job.
Because
it's just objective truths, you know?
Totally. 100%. 100%. And I'm sure people get incensed about everything that you put up there. Because
they do.
The Disney adults are, you know, a certain breed of people. So...
We love them.
Yeah, of course. No,
but fear
just,
them.
It's a certain, it's a vibe.
We worry.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I appreciate, Paris, how well researched your things are. Like, because Paris is like underneath, you know, the beautiful statuesque person, like knows a lot about marine biology. So when you did the top hottest fish in the sea or like birds in the sky, it's like very
it
well
was informed.
Researched.
It was informed.
Yes.
And, yeah, educated. Right. Okay.
It's, yeah.
Listen, I've been hot for my entire life.
Takes one to know one, you know?
Exactly. Just what I know.
Yeah. Michael, what about for you?
So right before we went into lockdown, I was getting really into improv and I was at this improv jam and some friends had told me that I did a decent Moira Rose impression from Schitt's Creek. So I went into this improv jam and I stepped on stage and I don't know why Moira popped into my head. And I did this whole scene where Moira was the manager of a Sephora. And she was like, I work here because everyone wears black. And enough people told me it was funny that when we went into lockdown, I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll roll with this Moira thing. Like, I love Schitt's Creek. What would Moira Rose think of life in lockdown? Mm. And so basically started this like video diary on Instagram and TikTok of like Moira's life in lockdown. And it magically went pretty viral. I think it was like right time, you know, the show was just ending. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of people, they were like, who love that show and is their comfort show. They were like, oh, you're like our seventh season. And people started to challenge me to play the Arrest of the Family and other characters. So we saw Moira hang out with Britney Spears. We saw Moira hang out with Patrick Stewart. But the one that really popped off, which I was very, it was funny because it was the one that took the least effort, was Moira Rose is the voice of your GPS. Mm-hmm. And that was the one that like faves. Really went, which I think is funny about social media, where all my other ones were these like sketches that I would take this time to write and I would have costumes and wigs and all this stuff. That one was literally, I drove around Lancaster, Pennsylvania, because I was there shooting a commercial, recorded my GPS, and then went back to my hotel, took a bath, and just narrated it sitting in the bathtub. And then it became to this, like, the most viral thing I've ever done. Mm. So if Waze is listening, I did a version for you and I will happily do it for real.
Cut the check, Waze.
So when you, each of you have these big moments where you, something pops off and you just sort of capitalize by doing similar content or kind of branching off from that, like kind of first viral moment, what effect does that have on the opportunities that come your way or your career? Like what does that actually look like, you know, beyond what you're posting yourself?
Oh, I mean, for me, it was a huge life change. Because I've been an actor. I started acting when I was six and I was working as an actor and in casting. And then before lockdown, I was ready to be done. I got into school to study architecture. I was going to do a full life change. Mm. And then this all happened. And all my friends, like entertainment friends, were like, this is not the time to quit entertainment. Like, you're having your biggest moment yet. So it actually pivoted into doing more writing for me and doing comedy writing and now like working on shows and all these other projects. And then now this podcast, like it turned out to be a complete life shift because of all of this.
Mm-hmm. Paris, what about for you?
That's super beautiful and poignant, Michael. I guess same, right? Like I had a regular job before this. Now I work as a full-time content creator and that is not without those viral moments. But I also feel like sometimes in the moment when they happen, it's like, oh, look, this is nothing. This is literally nothing. I'm still going to work. For me, my experience has been like, I guess, very atypical from what I've gleaned talking to other creators. But like, I'll just have people email me and be like, hey, we love your TikTok. Here's a job opportunity. And I don't have like a manager. I'm like trying to like figure out how the industry works and like how get jobs on my own. But like opportunities just keep coming to me.
Falling into your lap.
Yeah, you just put your email in the bio and then people find you and say, hey, here's money, do this. And I'm like, really? Okay, I'll do it. That much money? Sure, HBO. I'll write all of the wigs on your Game of Dragons show. Cut the check. It's been wonderful.
Cut the check. It's the HBO check. That's a good check to get. Yeah.
Yep.
Has Catherine O'Hara seen your videos, Michael?
Yes, and she really likes them. I'll never forget the first day she talked about me. She was gearing up for the Emmys and she was in an interview. And the guy asked her what her reaction was to creating such an iconic accent. And she brought me up. She was like, oh yeah, and I know people try and imitate it, but there's this one guy online who's really nailed it. And someone sent me the article, I almost walked into traffic. Because I've been a huge fan of hers since like before Schitt's Creek. I've loved her.
Yeah, of course.
Best in Show, Home Alone, like Beetlejuice. All the Beetlejuice. Yes. I've been down many an SCTV YouTube rabbit hole, like her early sketch days. Love her. So for her, I would say like, it's like Einstein rolling up and being like, you're good at math. Like that's what it felt in that moment. I remember I was walking down the street and literally did almost walk into traffic. Thank God the guy driving the truck swerved.
It's kind of nice that the interviewer wasn't like, oh, look at this guy. Like she had already seen you. She brought you up. You know what I mean?
And she quoted a video that was not a popular one too. I was like, oh, you've like
watched
these. And I found out after the fact that she is not on social media, but her two best friends are. And they follow me and apparently they show her my videos. And another person I know is like a family friend. And she's like, yeah, we went out to lunch and she's never done Moira for us. And the first time she ever did was quoting your like Memorial Day barbecue video. And I was like, what? Anyways, very cool.
No, that's exciting. That's very, very cool. Do either of you ever get stressed about having to keep up with the pace of trends, particularly on TikTok? Like,
how do you... that part?
Yeah. Like, I mean, how do you kind of parse through that? Because that's really hard. It's really hard to do.
I personally approach it with an understanding that everyone's For You page is different. Mm. Nobody will ever be seeing every trend. And it's impossible to know everything that's going on in the world at every time. But the cream rises to the surface. I find myself to be a curator of sorts. So I have like very specific feeds and like I kind of tailor my algorithm to give me the things that I think are cool and interesting. And then I think with our other social scientists, we have a really great diverse group of people who are getting,
yeah,
exactly, yeah, and then we kind of sift through like what we're getting and synthesize like what's the best of that.
Do you feel the same way?
Oh yeah, I think, and for me, one thing I love about hosting, about being on The Social Dose too, is because for me, my social media world is so niche because it's Schitt's Creek. So when I'm creating my own content, it's very specific. And a lot of it comes from like requests from people where they're like, The Little Mermaid's coming out. They're like, I would love to see Moira play Ursula, you know, and that's when I do that. So for me, it, when I'm creating my own content, it's actually a little easier in that respect because it's more like responding to when the coronation happened and they had the prince and the princess and they were like, oh my God, they're Alexis and Moira. I was like, great, I'll write a sketch around that. Mm, but wait. So for me, my world, and especially my For You page, used to be a little bit more narrow. Now, because of The Social Dose, because we're constantly researching and giving each other ideas,
it's broadened a little bit.
It's
yeah.
Beyond what I thought was even out there, which is just so cool and exciting. So for me, I feel like a kid in a candy shop right now. It's great.
Paris, what were you going to say? You just had a revelation. Wait, I saw it on your face.
Yeah, wait, Michael, are you doing a Little Mermaid video? Are you working on a Little Mermaid video?
I've done two. I did Alexis auditions for Ariel, and she did
Part
of Your World as a monologue. Yeah. And then I just did, because that one went well, I did Moira auditions for Ursula, and I did Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Instagram hates you apparently because they're not showing me my besties' content. This is they've shadow banned you. I'm actually upset by this. I was going to say, I'm literally doing Top 5 Hottest Mermaids coming Friday.
Oh my God. I can't wait.
Mm.
Who's not, like, give us number five. Who's like, no, who's,
oh my God, Gibson.
This is going to come out after the video comes out.
Is it?
Yes, it will. Yes. If you're posting it on Friday.
I can't say, but I can say number four will surprise you.
Color me intrigued.
As long as Daryl Hannah is in there somewhere, I'll be happy.
Ooh, Michael. The divas have spoken. Listen, there's so many mermaids to choose from. All mermaids are hot. It's a really tough competition. Stay tuned.
It's a pack. It's a pack. Space. Yeah, that's a packed space. 100%. Yeah.
That's true.
So you're about like 50 episodes into The Social Dose, more or less. And
oh my God, yeah.
How have you, if at all, changed it, tweaked it? You know, did you try something that didn't work? Have you leaned into something that really did work? 50 is it's a big milestone, I think, for a podcast.
Yeah, I'm actually shocked that we've done 50 episodes already. It feels like we just started, but we do. They're small, they're short, they're quick. We have them a couple times a week, so it tracks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like initially we had the idea for the show to be kind of like news-like, almost like mm-hmm. The Daily Show. But then we quickly realized that like the internet is chaos and we have to lean into that chaos to really convey what's happening in that type of space. We've definitely gotten less structured and more chaotic to sort of adapt to how the internet
reflect.
Behaves.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
It necessitated it.
Yeah. And I think originally too, they were going to be like, it was three episodes a week and they were going to be shorter. And we've just found also Paris and I just like have so much fun bantering in case you haven't noticed already.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
So I feel like our poor team of social scientists, we're having to cut so much down. So I think that was sort of the compromise was instead of three very short episodes, it's two slightly longer. And by that, by longer, I mean 25 minutes instead of like 15. I love it because it means we can really lean into just the fun of it. Like we tell personal anecdotes. Like anyone who listens now knows a lot about my mother and our deeply unhealthy relationship. Like
Michael's a mom gay.
It's so in that sense, it's grown, it's changed. I think it's become much more personal. Yeah, and like less sort of quote unquote newsy. However, we are still giving a lot of good like news, I will say.
I agree. I
honestly think so too.
I think so too. How has doing this together, I mean, this is like an intimate working relationship now versus just like becoming friends on the show. I mean, have there been challenges from that? I assume you're getting closer, you know, because again, you're learning so much about each other and working really closely. How has it affected your relationship working so closely together on this?
I would say it's actually driven a wedge between us.
Mm.
we don't talk anymore outside.
Next season
of the
on Ryan Murphy's Feud. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, it's been nice because we would be texting anyway. And now we're doing what we would be doing, but getting paid. And it's like, cool. And now we just get to like chat and shoot the shit. And they're scheduled time to do it every week.
Yeah. No, I love it. And we have three wonderful new friends. Like it's basically five of us who do every episode. And I'm obsessed with this team. Like we had one week where, because we had a holiday, we only recorded once instead of twice that week. And I missed them. I was like, something's missing this week. Like it's, because even before we record,
it's your work fam.
We chit-chat for like 35 minutes. We're like, how are we all doing? Where are we? The only thing that makes me sad is we're on separate coasts. It makes me like, I finish and I want to just like go get lunch. And I'm like, ugh. Mm-hmm. So I'm in between pods, Paris. I miss you very much.
I do too, Michael. I miss me. But it's also important that we are on different coasts because the internet on the West Coast and the internet on the East Coast is famously different.
Famously.
We're getting different feeds.
Yeah. That's right.
People watching Will Smith slap Chris Rock at 10 p.m. and people watching it at 7 p.m. have very different
wildly
reactions.
wildly different, you know.
That's very true.
But also, but when you're in LA, you wake up 3 hours. I mean, you're behind on life, like when you wake up in LA, you know, like
nobody wants to work anymore.
so you know I mentioned you had Candace from Housewives of Potomac on. Bravo is sort of like my ultimate wheelhouse, and I tried to go back. Have you guys done a Scandoval episode, considering how much it took over the internet? Have you guys discussed that on the Social Dose?
We refused.
Why? Tell me.
It was so monocultural, and Michael and I both have no idea what it is whatsoever.
It.
Like,
oh,
I
wow.
watched the first season of Vanderpump Rules, got sad because they were all too poor for me to, like, really enjoy watching them suffer. So I never got back into it. And it's like, I'm realizing now, like, Vanderpump Rules is the straightest culture, I think.
It's the straightest show on Bravo, absolutely, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we kind of were just like, everyone else is doing it. What are we going to add? We have nothing to add.
Yeah. And honestly, like for Bravo, I watched Top Chef, but I'm not a huge like Housewives or Vanderpump.
Yeah.
So it would have been like a lot of work for me to get caught up properly enough to speak intelligently about it.
Right. There is a moment where like, or a consideration that you make when you're thinking about what to talk about, where it's like, oh, this might be like too monoculture, too mainstream. It's not niche enough.
Although we did talk, I think, about some of the TikTok reactions. Cause I remember we did get into, so I did watch a lot of TikToks of people explaining what was happening.
Right, of course.
Like the people with the whiteboard, and they're like,
maybe
she did this and she did that.
I just met Abby. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, no. Okay. That's really cool. Okay. So no, we talked about the TikTok reaction, not so much like the show itself.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
Like, because there were a lot of really fun TikToks explaining what was going on. So that's why I think it was more like, I haven't watched the show, but if you're like me and you haven't, but you want to get enough to be able to like hold your own at a brunch, watch this
person on TikTok do this perfect recap.
Yeah. So we did talk about
that. That's all you need. Yeah.
I don't remember anything ever. Don't mind me.
you record an episode, you just black out. Exactly.
I do. And then I listen to it again and it makes me laugh all over because I forgot.
God. I just had that recently. I was listening to one of our episodes like on a shuttle from an airport, just cackling because I forgot about some of the things we'd said, even though we had literally just recorded that episode. But one of those episodes where we rattled on for an hour and a half and then they brilliantly cut it down to 30 minutes. And I was like,
you cracked yourself up.
You said that. Yes.
Yeah.
If you want a good laugh, look at Paris's notes section on his phone. Let's just say.
Paris, what's a recent, can you give us a recent note from your phone?
Let's take a look. I actually just recently added the notes app to my very first main phone page because I was like, why hasn't she been here this whole time?
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, because we did a whole story on people sharing their notes sections on TikTok and they're just unhinged.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes.
We did, yeah. Okay, so I am doing comedy at the Groundlings and this most recent note is of a character I'm working on named Merle. who is a Southern scruff mask for mask type of gay who is 55 years old, Key Largo native, has never worn sunscreen a day in his life, and works at the local drag bar.
What is a glimpse
into my brain.
What is Pearl's job at the drag bar? Is he the bouncer? Is he
He's security, yeah.
Oh, perfect. Oh,
Burl.
That tracks.
Yeah. Burl.
All right, Burl.
well, I can't wait to see that character online.
Hopefully
sometime.
You never have to.
No, I now I'm counting on it. So that you better make it happen.
This is Burl's world.
He sounded a little Pittsburgh-y for a second there.
Stop me.
Well, I think that's a kind of fun note to end on. We're going to meet Burl sometime in the future. This has been so much fun getting to talk with you guys and hearing just all about how you came together, the social dose, and I think that you're doing something that not that many people are doing online. I think that it's such a great listen every week. And so anybody listening or watching this, check it out. Is there anything else you guys can plug before we sign off?
I do just want to add, Gibson, we didn't get to talk about it at the top, but Gibson is one of the hottest names of all time. So wow. Props to you.
Yeah.
Incredibly done. Great job, your parents.
I've never met anybody named Gibson.
Neither have I. Literally, I saw the name and I was like, Gibson Johnson. That's a hot name. So
yeah,
you're blessed.
Thanks so much.
But yeah, follow us at The Social Dose. No, follow us at Paris Nicholson and at Michael Judson Berry. Or
M.
Michael, you plug yourself. Yeah,
at
her.
M. Judson Berry. because I didn't feel like writing up my entire name. But yeah, at M. Judson Berry. And then thesocialdosepodcast.com is the website for the show. And we love you to come in and leave us comments and voice messages. People have left us voice messages that are very fun. So,
oh my God, yeah.
We really enjoy those.
I love that.
One guy gave us a list that he had on his notes app of all the nicknames that he was called when he was on a vacation. And they were all so close to being homophobic slurs. We were cracking up.
Oh my God.
So close, but just not quite.
One of them was glitter throat. Like it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lemon bottom. Remember that
Lemon
one?
Lemon bottom. That was the correct response. Just a quiet eek.
Yes. I need to hear this voice out. All right. Well, thank you so much, guys. This is so fun. And hopefully we'll do it again soon.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you
for having
us.
Of course. Bye, guys.
Bye, besties.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to We Should Talk. I hope you enjoyed the interview. You can find out more about In The Know at inthenow.com. You can follow me, Gibson John, at Gibsonoma on Twitter and Instagram. And you can listen to all of our interviews, past and future, by searching We Should Talk wherever you get your podcasts. Hope to see you next time.